It's 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Former Vice President Mike Pence on CBS's Face the Nation reiterates why he refused to overturn the electoral vote count on January 6th.
Frankly, President Trump asked me to put him over the Constitution that day, but I chose the Constitution and I always will.
Trump has been arraigned on several charges related to trying to overturn the 2020 election. The latest CBS News poll shows what Trump's action looks like to the public.
Half the nation believes Donald Trump tried to stay in office beyond his term through illegal and unconstitutional means. Most Americans, and Democrats in particular, see the series of indictments against Donald Trump as defending democracy and upholding the rule of law.
Jennifer DePinto is CBS's Deputy Director of Elections and Surveys. The Justice Department has asked a federal judge overseeing the criminal case against former President Trump in Washington to step in after Trump posted what appeared to threaten anyone who goes after him. Attorney John Laurel on CBS responded.
We would agree that any sensitive or highly sensitive information be kept under wraps. In fact, we made that proposition to the Biden administration. They rejected it. They want every single piece of evidence in this case hidden from the American public.
On his social media platform, Trump wrote, "If you go after me, I'm coming after you." The U.S. just couldn't stop Sweden at the Women's World Cup. U.S. co-captain Lindsey Horan on Fox was disappointed, but...
First and foremost, I'm so proud of the team. A lot went into this performance.
The U.S. was eliminated 5-4. Sweden goes on to play Japan. Severe weather is on its way. Meteorologist Jackie Jarrus is at the Weather Channel.
We'll be focusing in on the Ohio Valley and the Tennessee River Valley. The rain may be very heavy and come in rounds, which means flash flooding is going to be a good possibility.
Pope Francis has wrapped up his trip to Portugal with Mass of World Youth Day.
I think the Pope will be very pleased with the way his 5 days in Portugal have gone. He's clearly energized by being with young people, and he's repeatedly urged them not to be afraid. That was a theme in the Mass today. In a sense, he sees them, it seems, as a vehicle to help him reform the church, which he has said repeatedly is very much in need of change.
The BBC's Alison Roberts. Japan is marking a grim moment in history.
Hiroshima's Peace Bell marked the moment on August 6, 1945, when the city was obliterated in the world's first atomic bomb attack. Hiroshima Mayor Kazumi Matsui said the rising threat of nuclear weapons around the world underscores, in his words, the folly of nuclear deterrence. He reiterated calls for nuclear disarmament.
This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Are there negative posts from an ex-employee or a former client? Maybe an outdated news article or sensitive personal information about your family? Search engines don't always get it right. But right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. One of the most trusted names in online reputation repair, Reputation Defender has been fixing people's search results for over 15 years. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, helping you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at ReputationDefender.com or call 800-831-0771 to speak to an expert. That's 800-831-0771.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. High of 82 this afternoon under cloudy skies, east winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast again. Tonight, lows level off around 61. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, highs level off around 83. Mainly sunny skies Tuesday with highs in the mid-80s. Chance for scattered rain showers Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 77.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and we are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Hey, folks. Welcome back to another episode of the Cripescast. This week, my guest is comedian Rory Scovel. He is so funny, so good. He's coming into Milwaukee and a bunch of dates around the Midwest coming into Milwaukee soon. Check it out. Ticket links and all that. Colleen Maraca, what EP of the Cripescast. Colleen, what day is Rory coming to Milwaukee?
Rory's coming to Milwaukee. He's coming to the Turner Hall Ballroom July 21st. Tickets are at roryscovel.com. He's also got some Minneapolis dates around then, Chicago. So, yeah, if you're not specifically in the Milwaukee area, like, it's the perfect time. It's right in the summer. That's when you ought to be in the Midwest. So he's going to be, long story short, he's going to be in the Midwest.
Yeah,
he's coming here the 21st.
He's so funny, too. I mean, if any of you are looking, you know, he's actually talking. We talked in this podcast. He's working. He's tightening up his next hour. So it's going to be a real treat to go see him. So, anyway, we'll chit chat with him in a minute.
You guys also went down like a Catholic church rabbit hole of all.
And let me say this off the top, because I grew up Catholic, he grew up Catholic, and there's a lot of great things about, you know, the Catholic faith and all this and that, and, you know, a lot of people get a lot of good out of it, and I think you certainly can, but I think you also have to acknowledge that the Catholic Church has had some problems, historically speaking, you know, Crusades being one of them. Also the whole pedophilia aspect. So, you know, you can't just look at the positive aspects of something. And, you know, that church, like any other church, is inherently flawed because you got people involved and people are inherently flawed. So to not acknowledge that is a little disingenuous, but that was a disclaimer. With all that said, you know, I think it was really cool talking to him, just because he is sort of a comedian's comedian, you know. Conan really, I think, gave him an awesome platform, really sending him on his career. And he does so many creative, cool things, an entire, you know, stand up special, just crowd work. His crowd work and improv is so good. His, you know, straight stand up is amazing. So, I really like talking to him. And also, you know, we have a lot of similarities. You know, we had the news business. We both come from big families, Catholic families. And it was kind of cool talking about that. What did you like about it, Colleen? Tell me what you liked about my podcast, Colleen. Not fishing for compliments at all, but
this is the affirmation. This is the affirmation hour. this is the only time I'm nice to Charlie is when we're on air.
Can I just say, you're not even that, you don't even pretend to be that nice to me on air.
I just want to like make a disclaimer that I am normally a nice person, but I think Charlie just brings the worst out of me.
Oh, that's nice of you to say live on air.
I'm kidding.
That's really nice. Anyways, folks, I do want to let you know, if you're looking for an interesting environmental way to clothe yourself, we've got a bunch of merchandise on mandoaugment.com, made in the USA, which means lower carbon footprint, also supports American workers. You can check it out, cripscast.com, click on the merch section, and you can also find us, patreon.com/CharlieBehrens. Two great ways to support the pod. And with that, should we get right into it?
Also, one other thing.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about tour. We have more tour dates coming up. So just like when people email in or whatever, or message in being like, when are tour dates coming up? We update the Cripescast website and charliebehrens.com pretty much instantaneously as we know tour dates. So if you're like, also send us places that we should send Charlie for tour dates, but be checking our tour pages pretty regularly. That's when we will let folks know that you're going specific places.
Excellent. Yeah. And we also do a first look at tour dates, the initial push on the Patreon. So if you want like those initial blip on tickets, check that out too. All right. Well, that's enough promo-y stuff. Should we dive in, Kelly?
Please.
All right. Let's talk to Rory Scovel.
Folks, how we living? Welcome to the Cripes Cast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. We are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. And this is today's episode. Hey, folks, how we doing? Welcome to another episode of the Cripes Cast. Today's Cripes Cast episode I'm super excited about because it's another in the series of Charlie is a hippie and he loves our planet and wants to save it from its pending doom.
Nice.
Yeah, that was well titled. No, I am. I've always been an environmentalist. Those who listen to this podcast know that. You know, I'm a big fan of birds. I'm a big fan of just the natural world. Mm. And, you know, that's obviously a theme here. I like talking to people about the environment and mostly about productive things that we can do. If you read the news, it's a lot of doom and gloom about the environment. But I kind of think that there's some hope there.
Mm-hmm.
And that if we all kind of do a little bit and... you know, pressure our politicians more than the people bribing them, then maybe we can see some change, potentially. Today, we're talking to Tracy Hames.
Yep.
And he is the executive director of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. Just a great dude. And we're talking about wetlands. Now, before you start snoozing, going to bed... because I know wetlands, when you say that to some people, they're like, boring. But wetlands are super important for just the way everything in our system works.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from water quality to, just to a healthy biodiversity. There's a lot of, species that depend on it that you wouldn't even think about. Like
right.
If you like deer hunting, bird hunting, fishing, whatever, water that is drinkable, there's something in here for everyone. So
yeah, I think when people drive by a wetland or they don't necessarily know what it is, they think like, they look at it and it's not necessarily, you brought this up in the episode, it's not necessarily the most like, it's a lake and like I get to look at this beautiful body of water, but it's just as important.
Yeah, it's a big old pile of mud and muck and whatnot.
Yeah.
And kind of some trees that may not look like they're doing so
yeah.
great, but they are. It's just kind of what they look like in the wetland sometimes. And some are quite beautiful, and beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So
wow.
Oh geez Louise, Charlie, so aww, good of you.
That's so sweet.
So anyways, we'll get to that in a moment. I love talking about this stuff, and I hope I can interest some of you in it. So that'll be coming up in a moment. But before we get to that, I'm joined by Colleen Maraca, Coco Maraca, ladies and gentlemen.
What up?
As her friends call her. She
not
is
you.
She is the executive producer of the Cripes Cast. Wearing some interesting shoes today. I'm just going to say that. What are those?
They're called Ilse Jacobsons.
Ilse Jacobsons?
Sponsor me.
They got holes in them.
Yeah, they're nice for...
those are nice for like pond socks.
Okay.
What I would call them.
Well, they're not cheap. They're very light. Do you want to hold it?
They look cheap.
Do they really?
Yeah. I mean, they look like
they are.
Very affordable. I don't know why I'm holding your shoe. Imagine where this has been. They are somewhat light, not as light as my Croc. My souped up Croc. Croc sent sent over some shoes, and some of these new Crocs. Oh, shoot. I just broke my mic. These new Crocs. It's going to be interesting. I'm going
to
fix my...
That's the part where you have to tighten it there.
Tighten it where?
There.
I know.
So
what I'm doing.
The reason Charlie's wearing Crocs is because he cut himself, and so for the last week,
I'm sorry. Are you telling the audience my medical history? I feel
that's a breach of HIPAA or something or other.
Well, you're not a doctor. I feel like it's a breach of employment. You
okay.
know.
Yeah, my NDA doesn't allow me to disclose it.
That'd be hilarious. Maybe I should do an NDA. I feel like at some...
We're past that point.
Oh, we are?
Everything that needs to be known about you is...
It's in the vault.
Yeah. It's in my tell-all.
NDAs can't be, I don't know.
Retroactive?
I don't know how they work. So anyways, I cut the ball on my foot. I was playing mermaids with my buddies That's the long and short of it. If you want to know the rest, you can see me live on the road, ladies and gentlemen. I am coming to your town.
Yeah, how was your shows this weekend? Oh, yeah,
did a couple shows in New Richmond. The new tour is feeling good. The new material's feeling right.
Good. How's the ball joke going?
Ball joke's going very good. It's getting a lot of laughs.
When I come and see it in person, if I ever come to this next leg of the tour.
Could you laugh?
I will laugh so hard you'll hear me like guffaw.
Okay, well, don't throw me off my game by your fake laughter. Now everybody who I told this to will fake laugh on it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But no, you're feeling good about it?
I'm already over it. Yeah, I'm feeling good about the tour. Nice. Feeling good about my foot. Feeling good about everything. A lot of new tour dates up. You can check them out on KreipsCast.com.
ManTalkManIt.com.
Let's give them like Charlie one Bands. Website. Is it all on KreipsCast?
Yeah, everything's on KreipsCast.
Yeah, KreipsCast.com. You can go check out the tour dates. And then, folks, we also got a bunch of merch up there if you check in the merch section. So there's the plugs. Mm-hmm. We got the plugs going. Yep. All right, folks, that is it. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Tracy Hames. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, Charlie. And thanks for sending the donations our way from the Steve Stricker American Family Fund.
So oh, yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries.
Last year we got the donation and we didn't know where it came from. We just got a check in the mail. And this year they actually sent us an email and kind of explained how it was set up. So
that's funny. You thought you just got a donation from AmFam?
Yeah, we had no idea where it came from. It just literally was a check in the mail. So
Got it. So. That sounds about right. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you knew it, just good that you got that money, you know, but, I've been a big fan of, you know, kind of what you guys have been doing for a while. And just to give people a backstory, I was doing an event with Steve Stricker for the American Family Insurance tour or whatever. And, it was a golf outing. And part of the deal is that you can pick an organization that you like and that you want to donate to. So, yeah, I saw what you guys were doing and I really appreciated it. So how you know, I kind of want to give people just a general invite as many people as possible into this conversation to start with. So I kind of want to start very basic and honestly. I want to make sure I know all the facts too, you know, and I'm telling the clearest story because I look into this stuff out of my own interest, but who knows what I miss or what information I've, you know, thought was accurate and isn't. Why don't we start very basically? What is a wetland?
Good idea. Yeah, we'll start very basic and you're not alone. So let's start by telling me a little bit from your brain before you did your research, what did wetland mean to you, or do you have a story? What's your perception at the beginning?
Well, okay. So here's kind of where I'm coming from on this. I know from my time in school or whatever that wetlands are important because they act as a carbon sink, one. Two, if you have a house or a property, wetlands are important because that will help prevent them from flooding. And because that water's got to go somewhere. If we concrete over everything, well, you have a lot of floods. Actually, my one of the houses I grew up in flooded because they made the river concrete, essentially, you know, and then they did it to because that was the look or something in the 60s or whenever they did it. And since that flood, they ripped it up and now made it a wetland. And they had the river, instead of going in a straight line, winding. So, and a lot of when it comes to wetlands, I feel like people who want to do right by the environment are going to want to protect the wetlands anyway. But I try to focus my thoughts and this conversation in a lot of ways on those that care about the economics of it. Because we live in a country that for whatever reason is driven by what the stock market's going to do tomorrow. Not even a year from now. And that's screwed us in so many ways. But I think if we make it even very clear of how this affects your bottom line, that would bring people kind of on board. And also beyond that, just to answer your question directly, what's a story I have of the wetlands? I love hunting and duck hunting and all that sort of stuff. And that takes place in the wetlands. And I'm also a big bird watcher. You know, the ones I don't shoot, I like to look at, you know, and also wetlands are very important for those. So that's kind of a very roundabout way of answering your question.
Well, that's pretty typical for, yeah, for us folks in Wisconsin, you know, where they were introduced from to wetlands oftentimes was either in hunting or bird watching or things like that. So great. We'll tell the story today about why people should care about wetlands and the economics and all that stuff as well. So hopefully it'll be something that's interesting to folks and it'll make a lot of sense. So if you want, we'll start right in is what is a wetland, right? A lot of people don't understand what wetlands are. They just see these things as they're driving down the road or they interact with them, you know, out in the field or here or there. A lot of people's perception of what a wetland is in their mind's eye, and you're a little more beyond that, which was nice to hear, but people think about an open water area with a bunch of cattails around the edge of it and a bunch of ducks or herons or things out in the water. And that's a type of wetland, but it's not every type of wetland we have in Wisconsin. And when you ask a wetland scientist, first thing they'll do is go into this long, convoluted definition of what a wetland is, talking about the soils, talking about the water, talking about the vegetation, and all this stuff all interacts, and et cetera, et cetera. For the purposes of this conversation, it's important just to remember that wetlands are those areas in between the places that are always dry and the places that are always wet. Okay, so it's the in-between zone. And because of that, you have a great diversity of wetland types, depending on how close they are to the always dry side or the always wet side, right? Some wetlands are pretty much always wet. Other ones are just wet very certain times of the year. And it's the water and those types of conditions that really help create the characteristics and the benefits that a wetland expresses. So we always say it's all about the water. Understanding what's going on with the water is the most important thing about a wetland. So if it's always wet, it's a lake, right? Or a river. Yep. If it's always dry, it's upland field or an upland forest or something like that. So in Wisconsin, we have an incredible diversity of landforms throughout the state. As you know, you get around the state a lot. Every part of Wisconsin is different than the next part. That's one of the great things about where we live. Door County is different than the Northern Lakes area, different than the Driftless, different than the, you know, Central Sands, et cetera. And the wetlands are expressed that way. They're different in all different places. And they're connected to our other waters. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But the way they're formed is all about what's happening with the foundational geology, what's going on with the soils, all the things that's creating literally the movement of water through our landscape. And so always be thinking about water, what's going on with the water when you're thinking about wetlands.
And, you know, what has been, I think here's the thing with wetlands that I think has kind of allowed them to be sort of, you know, we've lost so many of them. I think because they're not always the prettiest part of the deal, you know.
I disagree. Like,
well, no,
I know.
To your average guy or gal or whatever, you know, just driving through, they see some wetlands and they're like, "What can I do?" And maybe that's it. It's not just the aesthetic. I personally like them too, but some folks see it as like, you know, marshy land or a bunch of trees that look like they're half dead, even though they're not. They see kind of rough landscape, and there's not much you can do there to a degree. You know, you could possibly kayak some or this, that, and the other thing, but it's, you're not getting out there on your boat. It's a tough area to fish, if that's even possible, you know, through a stream or something. And, you know, you can see where the temptation comes in to say, well, let's just, you know, what if we fill this in and put up a subdivision here? Who's going to care? Who's going to fight about that? probably not a lot of people, because it's not intuitive. Like if you have this beautiful lake or this majestic river or something like that.
Right. So that's the perception, the historical perception, right, with wetlands, not just recently, but going back hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. You know, wetlands are the places where there's mosquitoes, there's malaria, there's, you know, deep muck, there's all these things. And it's really hard to occupy those areas. So human use is difficult. And I will say wetlands are much more than just producing mosquitoes. They also produce deer flies and ticks. So if people are wondering about that. But
yeah, you're really doing a great job on the PR side of that. Right?
Well, we'll get to why they're important in a minute here. So yeah. Let's talk first about the different types of wetlands in Wisconsin, right? So
sure.
You got the marsh that, you know, we talked about with the cattails and things like that. You also have, historically, we had lots of sedge meadows in Wisconsin. And those are the places that look like almost like grass fields, but they can be really wet and they have, you know, tussock type vegetation and incredibly important and diverse for wildlife, even fish species. We also have swamps. And I want to say a lot of people, when they think of wetlands, they just use the term swamp, right? Oh, there's a swamp over there. Swamps are actually wetlands that have woody growth in them, trees or woody shrubs or things like that. So a true swamp actually has to have wood in it. So we have ash swamps here that are actually being threatened by the emerald ash borer beetle and things like that. And we also have bogs, and, you know, we know about bogs, and they have the sphagnum moss, they have the pitcher plants and things like that. And we have other very rare wetlands that used to be more common called fens. And those are wetlands that are produced by spring water coming up out of the ground, and on and on and on. There's many, many different wetland types. So, you know, I always encourage people to get out, get in the mud, and you'll start to see these things from a different view than just driving down 60 miles an hour looking at the wetlands. And they are boring sometimes, you know, to the non-informed person. You go up into lake country, for instance, right? And as you're driving down the road, and we all do this, we're looking at the lakes. Oh, there's a nice lake out there. Maybe I want to go fishing in that place. And you're driving by wetlands and it's just kind of passed through. When I give talks up in lake country, I'll ask them, what's your perception, you know, of wetlands in this county? I'll say, oh, you know, we've got 10,000 acres of wetlands in such and such county. How many acres of lakes? How many acres of wetlands do you think we have? 10% of that, 20% of that. Most people think, yeah, probably something like that. In those areas, in the northern part of the state where we have healthy lakes, we have 4 to 5 times the acreage of wetlands versus the acreage of lakes. And the reason those, one of the important reasons that those lakes are clean and healthy is because those wetlands are there doing their job, cleaning up the water, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yeah, actually, real quick, I just want to, we haven't mentioned that aspect of this, but the wetlands, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they essentially act as a filter for all the lakes. Is that correct?
Right. We're going to talk about all the good things that wetlands do here in a minute, right?
Got it. Sorry to cut you off. I'll let you keep rocking and rolling.
But you're right. Perception can be bad, but the more people interact, you know, that's the message we always give. Get out there and explore these places that maybe you've ignored in the past, and you'll be really surprised at the diversity and the beauty and what's out there. But, you know, you also need to wear boots and, you know, get out in the mud. You know, we always say get out and get your feet wet. And that's the best way to explore these places. But be careful where you go sometimes, right? Sometimes it can get a little deep. And I've been in situations in the past where I wasn't sure I was getting out of the mud that I got myself into. You know?
Yeah.
In my previous
with
position.
Both boots intact.
Yeah, I worked for a couple of decades out west on a reservation, and there was a place where I was working, and one of the tribal elders told me, be careful out in that area. I lost a horse one time to quicksand. And, okay. So I was out hunting up in that area, and this was before cell phones and everything was in the 90s, and I parked about a mile away. I was walking through this area, and I was crossing this slough, and I had shift waders on. I got into a situation where it was so deep, I was almost over my waders.
Oh, wow.
And never hit bottom, right? And you're in a situation like that, and how do you get out? So I was kind of grasping at some of the bulrushes and things, trying to figure out how to give myself leverage. It took me about a half hour to get out of there. It's the only time I ever really worried about it. But of course, I was hunting at the time. And when you're in those situations, any good duck hunter knows that your head will go under, you'll be dead before your gun gets wet. So I did get out of there without getting my gun wet. And so it's important.
Just sitting there like that. Yeah.
And it wasn't really quicksand. It's not true quicksand. And, you know, we don't have that in Wisconsin either. And, you know, and we always say the word, or people use the term quicksand, but they just mean deep muck. And, yeah. You know, where do we know everything we know about quicksand? Where did we learn it? Two sources: Gilligan's Island and old Tarzan movies, right?
Yeah.
And, anyways, but we can have very, very deep muck soils here. And when we talk about climate change and carbon sequestration, we'll talk more about the muck soils.
Okay.
But anyways, get out there, get in the mud, but also be aware of where you're going and be careful, but you'll be amazed at the beauty and the diversity you see.
So let's kind of transition into what like the nuts and bolts of why wetlands are important. And then from there, I think it'd be good to talk about the economic implications if we, you know, continue on a path of eliminating wetlands.
So wetlands are the great managers of our water. And what I mean by that is, when you think about how our landscape handles precipitation, snowmelt, groundwater movement, etc., wetlands are the features on our landscape that really kind of dictate how water is moved and what happens across the land. And so let's look at it this way. Think about what we call a watershed. And that's a big term. Sometimes a lot of people that aren't in the resource business use very often, but a watershed is an area where every drop of rain or all the snow that lands in the watershed drains to a common, either lake or river or something like that. So think of a basin and all the water goes to the same location, right? And you'll have watersheds next to each other, and et cetera. What's happened in the past is we've removed a lot of the wetlands, especially in the tops of our watersheds. And the wetlands in the tops of our watersheds, the high portions where the rain and the snow melt falls originally, historically we had basins all through there. And a lot of times they were very small, but they would fill up with rain in the spring. They would certainly fill up with snow melt, and they'd hold on to that water and do a couple things: either soak it into the ground slowly or slowly release it out into the creeks and into the rivers and into the waterways downstream. And that slow release is really important, mainly because think of a bucket of water. You know, if you took a bucket of water and you slowly trickled out the water, you know, it just goes really softly. If you pour it all at once, you spend all your water in a few seconds. Watersheds are the same way. When we remove our wetlands in the top portions of our watershed, that rain, instead of being held up there, goes whooshing downstream, creating erosion, creating gullies, and grabbing all that dirt and, you know, carbon and everything else down into our lakes or into our waterways. By capturing that water, holding on to it, it cleans the water, allows the sediment to drop out, and it allows what we call the erosive energy, you know, the ability of that water to pick up dirt and cause erosion. It reduces that very much. So having those waters holding that on is critically important. The other thing that's really important is when it soaks into the ground, especially snow melt, a lot of our trout waters are in Wisconsin are very dependent upon wetlands on the landscape as well. And people don't think about that oftentimes. And it's for that same reason. When we capture that snow melt, that cold water, and allow it to soak into the ground above our trout stream, that water then is slowly working towards downstream through the soil towards our trout stream. And trout need cold water, as we all know, right? In Wisconsin, you don't have trout unless you have significant groundwater resources feeding those trout streams. Because honestly, you know, we have 70 degree dew points in Wisconsin. That's tropical in the summer. Wisconsin's a tropical area with a very good disguise 9 months of the year, but trout can't live in that hot, hot weather if they don't have cold water feeding out of the ground. Well, wetlands grab that water, cold water, and the ground acts like a refrigerator. It keeps it cold, And that water that was soaked in by the wetland actually is getting to the trout stream by July and August right now and providing that cool water for the trout. So all these different things in terms of water management is really important. Wetlands also are really good at processing nutrients and helping reduce not only the flush of water coming down our waterways, but the flush of nutrients as well. So if we've got weeds in our lake, if we've got, you know, algae or things like that growing, oftentimes we're looking at the lake, we're looking at that place and say, we need to fix that. Well, let's look upstream and see what's happened upstream. Has there been wetland loss or things that are contributing to the conditions that create those nuisance problems? So those are really important parts of it in terms of water management. So reducing flood peaks, capturing water, getting water back into our soil, and providing, of course, the fish and wildlife benefits that we all know. Northerns have to spawn in wetlands, right? They come up out of Green Bay, classically. Even walleyes, there are some areas where walleyes spawn in wetlands in the Fox River Basin. So incredibly important, the diversity. 75% of our wildlife, you know, use wetlands and things like that. So when you're thinking about the needs you have in your region or in your area, what we like to present then is how wetlands can be important to the issues, especially the water issues you're dealing with wherever you are in the state or in the region here. So we'll talk about that in a second, but those are some of the big benefits of wetlands and really present a high quality of life here. We didn't even talk about carbon storage. We can talk about that now if you want, or we can move on.
Well, I think, you know, the impacts of climate change are, you know, we are currently in the hottest summer we've ever had. You know, we've had the hottest day on Earth ever not too long ago. You know, I think the reality of climate change is starting to hit a lot of people now, even if they were, you know, hesitant to believe climate change was real beforehand. I think there's really no question of that now. I think some people are now saying, well, you know, there's nothing we can do about it, so why don't we just keep business as usual?
Right.
So, yeah. So with that said, what benefit do wetlands provide from a carbon sequestration standpoint?
So in Wisconsin, we're situated really well. One of the best states in the nation in terms of certain types of wetlands that are really good at what they call sequestering carbon. In other words, pulling carbon out of the air and putting in the soils. And these are what we call the histosols. It's a technical name for a soil type. It also means the wetland muck, that big, deep stuff that I got stuck up to my chest in. Those are big, deep, boot-sucking muck. And those are the soils that are really good at pulling carbon out of the air. And the way it works is that, of course, they grow up. All the vegetation that grows in the wetlands is very robust. And it's pulling carbon. Obviously, the plants are pulling carbon out of the air and building their structure. And at the end of the season, they die off and they'll fall down. And because they're in a wetland, the wetland conditions that are wet, because there's a lot of water in there, the plants don't decay like they would in an upland situation. There's no oxygen. So you get this buildup of dead organic matter. And that's what peat is, right? When you think about what peat is, that's a type of soil that is almost all carbon-based materials built up over hundreds and thousands of years. So here you have this, you know, mechanism where the carbon in the plants fall down, they don't decay, they get saved in the wetland, no oxygen, the next year goes again, so you're pulling carbon in over and over and over. We've lost a lot of our muck soil wetlands in Wisconsin, especially in the southern half of the state. Way back in the day, we really liked those areas because they were very conducive, especially for vegetable farming. And so we drained a lot of these areas. They call them muck farms, even to this day. And they go out and farm the muck soils. And when you do that and build the drainage infrastructure to be able to farm a big, deep, wet, you know, mucky wetland, it takes a lot of drainage to do that. And when those soils are exposed to the air, right, we removed the oxygen. So now we have normal soil decay processes going on. That starts the process of all those hundreds or thousands of years of organic material in those soils to start being released because they're exposed to oxygen. So there are muck farms now where a lot of them are going back into wetland, but you'll go out with the farmers out there and they'll tell you, you know, when we started farming this thing back in the 1940s, our soil, our crop field has subsided, has dropped 6 feet in elevation over the decades. And that's because there was that loss of the organic component of those soils being lost because of air. So not only are we not pulling carbon back in from the air, we're sending it the other direction. Thousands of years of carbon storage then when we drain these wetlands goes back up into the air, contributing to more of this kind of stuff. The other aspect of wetlands and climate change, and we don't even really have to use the term climate change very often. You know, like you say, some people, that's a sensitive word. The way it's being expressed in Wisconsin right now, one of the ways that we're seeing big changes happening just in the last, you know, 10, 15 years is through the development of really large localized storm events, especially in the summer. And what happens is you'll get a storm moving in about 8 o'clock at night and it'll park in one location and it can drop, you know, a foot of rain overnight onto one location, into one watershed. And with the wetland loss we've had, with all the changes we've had on our landscape, we're blowing out roads, we're blowing out culverts. You know, like you say, we're flooding houses, we're doing all these things that water's going in places where we don't necessarily want it. And the energy of that water is causing a lot of problems. Up in the Ashland area in 2016, they had one of those events and it was literally $35 million in damage to public infrastructure just in one overnight rain event. Oh my goodness. And they said, oh, that'll never happen again. 3 years later, it happened again, same spot. And we're getting these rain events all around Wisconsin. You never know, so almost like a tornado. Where's it going to hit this year? And no part of the state has been spared these crazy big localized storm events. So it's getting the attention of a lot of people. And wetlands are a big part of the solution to dealing with those impacts brought on by those storms. And it goes back to wetlands managing the water. We talked about the upper watershed wetlands, right? Capturing that rain as it comes down. But we also need to bring the wetlands back that are along our waterways, our creeks and our rivers. These are what we call floodplains, right? Mm-hmm. Normally in a natural situation, you'll have a creek and like you were talking about earlier, it's real windy. And when the spring comes and the waters come, the water spreads out of the channel and goes out across the land in what we call a floodplain. And there's vegetation and wetlands all through the floodplain. And the vegetation kind of really acts like friction. It captures that water, blows it down, reduces the energy, allows the sediment to drop out, et cetera. We've lost so much of our upper watershed wetlands due to development because of the easy ones to drain, right? Because they're up on that closer to the dry side. But we've also lost a huge amount of our floodplains. And what happened, you know, way back when during development years, we'd go into our creek area and it was messy and it was windy and there was a lot of land that we couldn't really use productively, you know, at the time. So what did we do? We straightened the creek out, move it over to the side of the valley and then move in and either, you know, crop it or develop it for one reason or another. And that's the floodplain. So we're turning an area that used to spread water out very slowly and capture it and allow it to soak into the ground and reduce the energy, reduce the erosive force, moving it over to the side into a straight line ditch that pretty much acts just like a fire hose. So when we get water, we lose our water, our wetlands up above, all that water comes down the hill, it's into those ditches, it's off for the races. And if there's culverts, if there's roads, if there's infrastructure that we want to protect, that's right in the firing line. And so that's why we're having so much damage right now. Then you put climate-induced storms on top of it all, oh my goodness, right? $35 million in damage from an overnight rain. So a big part of the work we're doing right now is helping people understand that story and understand that we've got to start putting wetlands back in the right locations to address these very real issues that our communities are experiencing right now.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Everyday people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 82. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 61. Tonight, cloudy. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Highs around 83. High of 85 Tuesday under mainly sunny skies. 83 Wednesday, chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 80.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripes Cast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and today I'm talking to Executive Director of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, Tracy Hames. And what would you say is standing in the way from, restoring the wetlands and preventing current wetlands from being developed? What industries, what folks have the most interest in seeing the wetlands go away?
Yeah, I'm actually really optimistic right now. Some really good stuff is happening in Wisconsin. So we'll talk about that. And the perspective is, historically, we had 10 million acres of wetlands in Wisconsin, right? That's a wet foot every three or four steps. That's a lot of wetlands. We were a soaking wet state. We've lost half of the wetlands than what we had historically. And most of that loss is probably from Highway 10 South, certainly Highway 29 South. We're in decent shape in most areas in the lake country in the northern part of the state. That's why we have such high quality lakes, rivers, and fishing. So you can't remove that amount of wetlands without serious implications. So our message to people is, how can wetlands be a solution to the issues that you're facing in your community? And that means locally, what are the problems you're running into right now? And so our program's approach, our organization's approach is not to get people to like ducks and frogs and pretty flowers if they don't already like those things. Our approach is to get them to understand why wetlands are important to the things they already care about, right? So if you're the town of Ashland, 75% of your yearly budget for the whole town goes to road repair on a normal year. You put out culvert loss and some of these things from these rain events, and that's a big, big issue. So we work with the town of Ashland and say, how can wetlands be a solution to your budget woes, right? And that means putting wetlands back in a cost-effective way so you're not paying to fix your roads as much as you used to. And it's really taking off when you take that perspective, because then people aren't, just thinking about wetlands as these wasted spaces that we see as we're driving down the road, but they can put it together and understand why they're important to what they're doing right now. So whether you're a farmer, whether you're a developer, whether you're working to expand industry in an area, You don't want problems with runoff and rain events.
Right.
I live in Middleton. A few years ago, we had one of those big rain events in Middleton, right?
Yeah.
And the industrial park in Middleton had a foot and a half of water in it. The Costco was flooded, foot and a half. Believe it or not. Yes, I know.
Wow.
So, but anyways, the point is, when you look at where the water was on that big rain event, and then you look at the map of where the wetland soils are, because wetland soils, after a wetland's been drained, the soils still have the characteristics where you can see
that. You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app. You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
Athletic Park is the site of today's contest as the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters visit the Wausau Woodchucks here on this sunny Sunday afternoon here in Wausau. And good afternoon, everybody. Joey Fear with you here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Well, it was a game in which yesterday Wausau, they swept the Rafters in a doubleheader. In the first game, the Rafters started in the bottom of the second. It was a makeup game from previous Friday. And Wausau, they got in front early. They had two runs in the top of the third. Wisconsin Rapids got a run back in the bottom of the fourth. It was a solo home run from Ty Johnson. But unfortunately, Wausau kept the lead. They went up 3-1. Brendan Bobo did his best. He got a home run, which is 13th of the season. He's now tied for first in the league. Wausau hung on that game, and they won 3-2. 30 minutes later, it was game number two in which the Rafters were looking to split the series, get back to winning ways. Their six-game win streak previously just ended, but Wausau, once again, they were able to take down the Rafters 5-3, and what it was a big run they got in the top of the seventh. Wisconsin Rapids, they just couldn't get anything going really offensively. It was another solo home run from Ty Johnson, but they were swept by a Wausau team that previously lost its 9 of its past 10. Since then, it's won 3 of its past 4. It has been playing, they've been playing a lot better baseball, and certainly they've been getting help from guys like Christian Mitchell. Michael Adair has been stepping up. Ryan Blackwell has been all right as well. So they've had a bunch of guys that really have kind of stepped up and really have hurt the Rafters. So Wisconsin Rapids looking to return the favor today, and they're a team, though, they're batting at .242. They're 19th in the league in doing so, 514 hits as well, which is 18th. But what's good for them here, as statistics speak for themselves, here at Athletic Park, they're 4-1, and their last full game they played here was back on June the 11th, so it's been a while since they've played Wausau. They're batting at .235 with 341 at-bats against the Woodchucks. They have 80 hits as well, but they've been struck out 93 times against Wausau. So Wausau's pitching has been a little bit better. Certainly one of those guys that did that yesterday, Henry Cohn, and went 7 innings, certainly had a effect on the Rafters. They just seemed cold offensively. It just wasn't really their best, and they're going to have to look to change that. The last 5 games, Rafters have been batting at .237. They've had 21 runs because of it. So looking to change that here today, as down there right now, Levi Jensen, acting first base coach for the Rafters and a catcher. So Jensen down there with Ross Davis. But you look in this lineup and you look at the Rafters, Caleb Shulist towing the slab today, and a guy that has already appeared against Wausau once. He's had one game appeared in at a University of Wisconsin Parkside from Shantytown, Wisconsin. He played for the Rafters back in 2020. Didn't get many two opportunities for them, given it was the COVID year. But Chulist already has had a good debut. It was back on August the 2nd here at Athletic Park. So Chulist will be getting the start. David Smigelski behind the plate at catcher. Brendan Bobo at first. Joseph Moroic at second. James Bornick at third. Aiden Brewer at shortstop. Anthony Gallison up at left field. Ty Johnson at center. And Al Castillo in the ninth position at right field. As for Wausau, Dominic Reed is getting the start on the mound. He's got an 0-3 record out of Oklahoma State from Little Elm, Texas. But he's got a good command. He's at 27 and two-third innings of work. 28 strikeouts for him. So he's going to look to take down the Rafters today, specifically on the defensive side, hopefully to lock it down. Behind the plate, Ryan Blackwell, the catcher out of Oral Roberts from Amarillo, Texas. And at first base, had a big day yesterday. Andrew Jimenez went 2-for-2 in that game, too. And at second, Ryan Blanchard. At third, Michael McGinnis. Shortstop, you have Christian Mitchell. At left field, Michael Adair. Dwight Allen at center. And Trent Van Ness at right field. But this is a Wausau team in their last five. They've been batting at 241, 38 hits. They've had 28 runs because of it, but they've been walked 22 batters, 41 strikeouts as well. But this is a team starting to turn a new leaf here as we wind down the last week of the regular season. And they can make a push. They're 12-18 right now in the second half. 5.5 games back of first or fourth in the Great Lakes West and an overall record of 30-33. As for Wisconsin Rapids, those two losses did not help them out as Madison got the win in Fond du Lac yesterday. So Wisconsin Rapids right now second in the Great Lakes West. They're a half game back of Madison. But what's good for them is they have a five-game away stand. And normally you would say, oh, they're away from home. But they're 19-11 on the road this season. So they were winners of six straight, swept last night. But just looking to have a good week of baseball, that's certainly what they're going to need because Madison has won their past two straight and the Rafters have lost their past two straight. So we'll see how these two teams get going. But I will say, though, Wisconsin Rapids, you know, it is good that their next five games are on the road. It is grueling, specifically when they're traveling from city to city, but they do well on the road. This is a team, as I said, 19-11 on the road. They have a lot. They have that road warriors mentality about themselves, and a team that is first in an ERA. They're first for saves in the league. So defensively, they're just going to continue to work in. Offensively, that was really the story yesterday. Weren't really able to get home. Only four hits, three runs because of it in game two. So when you only had five combined runs in two games, it's hard to keep a team like Wausau, who's eager to start getting back to winning ways. You know, they're a team, though, right now struggling. But here in the last week, we'll see if they can make a push. They're going to have to win all games because they're fifth in the Great Lakes West right now. So we'll see if they can do that. But the Rafters, it's just about finding ways to attack defensively. And they certainly have guys that can do that. Caleb Chulist getting the start. Kalen Graham most likely will come in after. We'll see how Kirk Schreider likes to mix and match with his pitching staff. So first pitch coming up in about 8 minutes here on WFHR. We'll take a quick step aside. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place? You know, that spot that only you know about. And instead of what you came for, you found something a little different. What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number? 1-800-662-HELP. What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral. Or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope. at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Let's get back to the rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.